Speaking today with Juliette Sepech, who is HISD trustee in District 8. Juliette, you were elected this past November in a special election to fill a term that had been left vacant. Has the job been what you thought it would be when you first started campaigning for it?
I think that it's been an extraordinary experience. Facing like some of the most significant challenges that HISD has confronted for many, many years. I mean, we had to deal with the state budget crisis. We've had to look at different types of measures that HISD attempted to implement, such as the changes to the magnet program. And so it's been a very, very extraordinarily challenging first couple of months.
I mean, I presume you've had to learn a lot. What's been the most surprising thing that you've learned in doing this?
I think that one of the most surprising things that I've learned in doing this is that the process can be rather slow. HISD is extraordinarily large. There are many different departments. The learning curve is extraordinarily significant. It's very challenging, and it requires a tremendous amount of patience, diligence, and it also requires a person that's going to serve as a strong advocate for the community. And so I believe that in the short while that I've been on the board, I've had the opportunity to learn a whole lot because it's kind of been trial by fire. And I think that there's a whole lot more that I'm going to be learning in the process of hopefully being reelected to the board.
Okay. And what are, as you see it now, the biggest challenges in your district?
You know, I thought it was interesting when I asked one of the persons in the research department to provide me with an analysis of the schools in District 8, and she was talking about how District 8 has a track record of many stable strong performing schools, and that there has been a steady level of improvement and growth in District 8. However, you know, we do have some schools that are facing some challenges that, you know, need to be addressed, obviously. But I think the thing that I'm really concerned about is the new STAR test and how it's going to be extraordinarily more rigorous, and how we have to develop a curriculum that's going to be able to meet the new challenges of the STAR test, because it's really going to transform our entire way of assessing students. And I think another thing that I've just really been concerned about is the significant number of students that are not on reading level. And, you know, they have statistics like there's approximately 70,000 students in HISD that are not reading at grade level. And I believe that if a child is not able to read, there's no way that they're going to be able to truly gain the education that they need to go on to college or career readiness.
Talking about the STAR test, one of the concerns that I've heard from people about, you know, not just this test in general, but with a lot of high-stakes testing, is that it tends to contribute to the dropout rate, because students who fall behind feel like they can never catch up. Do you believe HISD has an adequate strategy for dealing with you know, people who drop out because of high-stakes testing?
I think that HISD has come up with some innovative programs trying to address the issue of bringing back students to finish their high school, to get their high school diploma. They've got the Twilight Labs and the Grad Labs, and I know that there's tutoring programs available, but I think that if we don't address the reading issue, the reading component, I think that kids are just going to clearly struggle on the tests. We've seen improvements in the math scores in the recent evaluation of last year's test. We saw an improvement in math, but we saw a decline in reading and social studies, in areas that require that foundation of being able to comprehend, have comprehensive reading skills. And so I think that the district has to come up with some program that understands the unique needs of the different communities and has the input of the teachers and the principals because right now it's my understanding that there are 40 different reading programs throughout HISD. And if a child, for instance, starts at one elementary school and for some reason the family needs to move to another part of town, the child could then be started on a totally different reading program. And so there's no consistency necessarily in the reading curriculum that the child is being provided. And so that contributes, I believe, to some of the difficulties that we have with our reading scores.
Well, obviously you don't want a one-size-fits-all approach, I guess. But,
no.
You know, I mean, how much vetting, I guess, how much vetting has been done of these different programs? I mean, do we know that they all work?
Yeah, that's the question that I asked. I was like, well, I'd like to know which ones are the most successful ones. You know, which are the programs that have been shown to work in an urban diverse district such as HISD? And what are the concerns that the teachers have in trying to describe, you know, what they're experiencing at the campus level with the student population that we have? And that's something that we really need to analyze. And I know that there had been discussions about how HISD had a strong reading program in the past. And so I'm trying to understand, you know, where did we get from the strong reading program in the past to where we are today? What can we learn from the programs that we have in place that work? Which ones don't necessarily work as well in HISD? And what can we do to really create a program that's going to help all the children that we have in HISD? So.
As you know, the legislature cut education funding this past spring. HISD had to adopt a budget before the legislature finished its work, and actually HISD had cut more than what actually wound up happening. First of all, what do you foresee as being the effects of the budget cuts that HISD had to endure as a result of what the legislature did?
Well, I think that it's what we were already seeing in terms of larger class sizes. We're seeing support staff, such as librarians and nurses, that have been laid off. We've also had teachers in core subjects as well as extracurricular, you know, like electives, lose their jobs. And I think that when we should be investing in, the folks that we have working in HISD, we have to instead look at programs that could be used to help enrich a student's experience in HISD. Those are, like the first ones to go, like music or, anything along, like art. I saw, several art teachers lose their jobs because they weren't considered core subject areas, and I think that's a real tragedy.
As I understand it, the extra money that HISD wound up with from not having to make it, from having more allocated to it than they had planned for, they decided to spend in this year rather than bank for next year when further cuts are anticipated. Did you agree with that approach?
I agreed with returning the money to the schools because I said that, we have to focus on what's happening with this particular year. I think that next year we're going to have to do a very careful assessment to see if there's any non-campus cuts that can be made or any savings that we can try to look at. I don't like when we made that initial decision of cutting $275 from the per student allocation, which is also described as the per unit allocation. I prefer per student allocation. It was one of the most difficult decisions that I ever had to make, but it was made in light of the fact that we were going to have such a tremendous shortfall. And when we made that decision, there was a discussion that if any funds should return, or if we had any excess, that we would return it to the campuses. And so I felt that that was a promise that we made to the community, and it was one that we later were able to keep our promise and return the fundings to the schools, the kids. Need the money. The schools desperately need the additional help, and I'm glad that we were able to send it back to the campuses.
Now, as I understand it, HISD's tax rate is not maxed out.
Right.
That HISD could, in fact, raise the tax rate by a few pennies without having to call for a tax election. Do you foresee HISD going down that path as a way of not having to cut as much in the future?
It's definitely in the cards. I think it's a possibility. I know that it's something that, we're facing perhaps a $40 million shortfall for the next school year. but I also believe that we have to carefully look through all the programs that we have in HISD with a very, very fine-tooth comb and say, which programs do we need? Which ones are not working? What is antiquated? What is not? We have to look at every single thing before we look into raising the tax rate. And I think that that's something that we really haven't had an opportunity to fully do. And I think there's some more cuts that can be made at the central level as opposed to cutting at the campus level for the children in the community.
One of the programs that does cost money that is, you know, had some controversy around it is Apollo 20. What's your assessment of all Apollo 20 and what do you see happening with it?
You know, I know that Dr. Greer told us that Dr. Farah was supposed to come to us in the next week or two with his analysis of the first year results of the Apollo 20 program. We already have, you know, some of the results of, for instance, like the tax scores. And we saw an increase in some of the schools in the math, but we did not see an increase overall in the reading. And so it goes back to, you know, some of what we had talked about a bit earlier about, you know, reading being a real issue that we as a district need to confront. It's a very expensive program, and right now it's a program that's heavily funded by private donations. Now, I have my concerns about how in the world is this program going to be replicated if it is considered something that, you know, we would want to have at more campuses. There's not going to be the funding available to do that. I mean, I think someone projected that if we tried to spread this to other campuses, it would be $100 million. And so I think we have to look at programs that, I mean, HISD has had a long track record of extraordinarily innovative programs in the past, like everything from the Magnet to Vanguard to these Twilight programs. And I think that there are some things that we can learn from Apollo, like the intense tutoring, the longer school day, but how can we spread that benefit to all students in HISD? And granted, there's, when I look at the results from a school that's in Apollo versus a school that is not, I see a similar amount of improvement and growth in some campuses, and I'm like, they're not getting that extra funding. But what is it that allowed that school to show that similar progress? And I think we have to look at that and say, is it just the program? Is it the teachers? What is it that's truly working? And so I think that there needs to be a strong critical analysis of what we've learned from Apollo in its strengths and its weaknesses.
Now, I mean, some of the things that Apollo has done that, that you've touched on, the tutoring, the longer hours, I mean, these are staples of certain types of charter schools. They're certainly the ones that get all the publicity, like KIPP and YES. And do you view charter schools as a threat to HISD, as a partner, as a competitor? What's your view of charter schools and how HISD should deal with them?
Well, I think that HISD, you know, bottom line, there are alternative options. There's schools that are available to members of the community. And, you know, as a member of the Board of Trustees for HISD, I want to make sure that we are able to compete and retain and attract as many students in the community as possible by offering enriched programs and great schools. And I think that, you know, there's things that we can learn from all different sorts of educational settings and environments. I know that HISD has some of its own internal charters, which are extraordinarily successful. I mean, I've had the opportunity to spend a lot of time at, like, Eastwood Academy, which is in my district. And I like the flexibility that the internal charter program has to offer to the students. Eastwood is like a family. They've got a very active parent organization in the school. They have a library that was one of the highest, had the highest circulation in HISD. And, you know, one of the tragic things in the budget cuts was they lost their librarian due to the cuts. And so, but I think that the charter model, in terms of the fact of allowing innovation in a longer school day, after school after school enrichment programs or tutoring and mentoring, you know, offering those different alternatives, is something that we definitely can learn from. And I think that whatever we can do to attract and retain more students, we really should learn from those things.
Well, and there's also the magnet school program, which has had its share of controversy. Do you think the magnet school program needs to be changed in some of the ways that Dr. Greer has outlined?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to assist in one of the committees in trying to create a new magnet policy. And I was surprised that, you know, we've been operating for so many years without having, you know, a real outline of what the policy is for our magnet program. But I know that, you know, I do not agree with the Magnet Schools for America recommendations, and I had some serious concerns with the number of schools that were going to lose their magnet funding. I thought that it was random, and I thought that it was not in the best interests of the students in HISD. And so I believe that there should be an attempt to try to improve the magnet programs that exist that are not performing as well as others. And I think that they should be put on growth plans with certain measurable benchmarks. And I think that the community that's involved with a particular school should also have input in trying to understand what's going right and wrong in a magnet program that's not performing well. But I don't think that coming in and trying to revise the magnet program with this sweeping change of saying, okay, you're going to get your magnet funding removed because you don't meet one criteria in this list, I just don't think that that's the reasonable way of handling an attempt to improve our magnet program.
I guess what would be your top priority for the magnet schools? What do you want to see happen with them the most?
What I want to see happen with them the most, I think it's it would be nice that you know, more people are aware of the different programs that are available throughout HISD, that the application process becomes more transparent so that way people can see, okay, these are the criteria that are required for admission to certain schools, and that we look at the way the different magnet schools are funded and say, okay, right now, there's a significant difference, you know, just between campuses. I think we should look at it and say, okay, well, is there some more consistency that we can have by theme? But I also believe that the community has to be involved in this process as well, to have their concerns and their interests sincerely listened to, and that they have buy-in into whatever changes, you know, we're recommending. And so the magnet issue is something that, you know, I take to heart because I'm a product of one of HISD's magnet programs. I know that they have a wonderful way of retaining students, of attracting students, because it's supposed to be based on a particular type of theme that a child is interested in. And so I think we have to continue to create schools like that, replicate successful ones, look at ones that may be antiquated and are not working, and try to transform them. But I do not agree with what was done before.
Okay. Do you think the board itself operates in a sufficient and transparent manner? Do you think that, you know, that... Well, let me just leave the question as that. Do you think the HISD board operates in a sufficiently transparent manner so that parents, teachers, and other stakeholders, you know what's really going on with the board?
I think that we can always improve upon our interaction with the community so that way they know exactly what's going on. And I'm a strong advocate for involving and including the community and making sure they're aware of everything. I told someone, I know that with the new, with the tax results for this past year, they included special education and other criteria that had not been included before. And they were saying how that, you know, lowered some of the scores. And my philosophy on that was we should always include all children so we have a true measure of what's going on our campuses. Why would we want to sugarcoat or change things? I mean, we have to really look at things as they are. And there should be transparency at all different levels so that way the community will appreciate the challenges that we face and how we can create a true strategy to improve what's going on in the school district.
Now, the board has had some issues with, questions about ethics and dealing with processes for, you know, signing contracts with contractors, having personal relationships with them. You know, as the saying goes, the scandal is that all of this is legal, that no one's broken any laws, but it all, you know, doesn't look very good.
Right.
Do you believe that the way HISD conducts its business with contractors is okay as it is? And if your answer to that question is no, what do you want to see done about it?
Okay. I think that, you know, HISD needs to have an independent third-party audit conducted to the procurement process, so that way we can know what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And I think that we also need to revamp our ethics and procurement policy to make sure that the public feels satisfied and comfortable with the way that we are spending money. And so I know as a lawyer that oftentimes people are surprised by how someone that everyone thinks is absolutely guilty, you know, is able to be found guilty, you know, and, I mean, guilty or not guilty, I should say. And I think that there's a difference between the law and ethics. And ethics requires us to have a loftier, more virtuous standard than what the law may necessarily require. And I think that it's high time that HISD look at the procurement process and say that, you know, we really have to create a system where the public feels that they can trust us and that everything truly is transparent and that the person that offers the best service to HISD at the lowest price is the one that wins.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Would you say that some of the things that have been reported about activities involving some of the board members, Paul Harris and Larry Marshall come to mind, but in particular, where they have, you know, where people who are friends or relatives of theirs have benefited from business dealings with HISD, you know, can you look at some of those things and say, that's right, that's wrong, that needs further scrutiny? What, you know, what's your assessment of that?
Well, my assessment of things at HISD are that we have an opportunity to make changes, and I think that we should.
Okay. Do you believe it is within the capabilities of the board to reform its business itself, or do you think a remedy will be needed?
I think that it's within our... we can make the changes internally. I think that if we truly have an independent third-party audit that can tell us... like I said, I'm a person that I want to know the good, bad, and the ugly. Just tell me what's going on, and we can see where we can go from there. So let's go ahead and do this audit, see what systems work, what does not work, and create a new... and if it's necessary, which I believe... it is necessary that we create some new type of ethics and procurement policy that is going to take into account the need for us to make sure that we spend the public's money in the best, most efficient manner possible, focused on the needs of the community and the children first.
And what sorts of remedies do you think should be available? You know, let's say we go through with what you're talking about. There's an audit, everything's reviewed, and we get it down to black and white. These things are acceptable, these things are not. What sorts of remedies should be in place for when someone is found to have done something they shouldn't have done?
Well, I think that I would have to look at the alternatives that are available, you know, in different communities. You know, there's always the referral to appropriate authorities. There's the opportunity for, you know, an independent investigator to come in. We also have an office of the Inspector General that's supposed to, you know, keep a close eye on everything that's going on internally as well. But I do believe that, you know, we really have to say, you know, what is it that we're going to do to police ourselves to ensure that there's teeth behind any type of policy, to know that if we do violate the public's trust in any way, what are the repercussions that we have to face?
How would you assess Superintendent Terry Greer, the job he's done as superintendent?
I've only been on the school board. I've only been on the school board for, I guess it's going to be about 10 months. And I have had an opportunity to spend time with him one-on-one, as well as, you know, serving on the board, looking at the different recommendations that he has made. I believe that I don't always agree with the recommendations that he has put forth, and my voting record has shown that. I do believe that the district has probably been going in too many different directions too quickly, and I've always believed that, you know, change is necessary, obviously, to confront the new situations that we're facing, but when it's done too quickly, it can actually cause instability, and it can compromise the reform that you want to occur. And I think that we have had that situation take place in HISD. And I am grateful for, you know, some of his shedding to light the need for us to make sure that we focus on the education for every single child. You know, I know that he has talked about that and saying that every child, regardless of socioeconomic circumstances, should have a fair quality education. I appreciate that. But I think that Dr. Greer has, although he's tried to change, he's had some issues with really reaching out and understanding the issues of the community.
Do you think it's possible for real reform to occur in a big, diverse bureaucracy, education department like this?
Yeah, that's one thing. I had that question asked to me many, many times.
And like, that article just came out in Texas Monthly. I haven't gone all the way through yet, but, I mean, do you think it's possible?
I think it's possible, but the thing that we really need to appreciate is that with a bureaucracy, with an entity as large as HISD, real change will never happen if you don't have the community involved and you don't have the community's buy-in. And what I've noticed in visiting the different campuses in District 8 and also comparing myself to the districts, to the other districts, I've noticed that the strongest schools always show a very active parent organization, teachers that are extraordinarily caring and involved in their students' academic performance and personal life, schools that have support measures that meet the unique needs of a particular community, and also schools that recognize and appreciate the diversity and using that as a means of trying to create a curriculum and school culture that makes children and parents want to go to that campus. We can't have that happen if we create a system that makes it difficult for parents and community members to become involved in the schools. And with the budget cuts that we have faced and which we will face next year, HISD needs more community and parental involvement to be able to offset the losses that we have incurred. And so with, you know, it's like, it sounds corny, but it's like change starts with the individual. I mean, and there's no way that you're really going to totally transform anything if you don't have buy-in from the people that are the children and the parents that we serve. We have to be more community-based, more service-oriented. And only with that, I think that only if we do that are we really going to see the changes that we want to see.
And when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to give you a full term as the trustee for District 8?
I have worked extraordinarily hard to be a strong advocate for the children in HISD and focusing on my schools and District 8. I have spent a considerable amount of time visiting the individual campuses, and I want to be able to serve on the school board for 4 years to be able to effectuate change by involving the community, listening to you know, the needs and wants and the concerns that many parents and children have told me, and, you know, looking at the data and saying, how can we critically assess what's going on in HISD and create a true method of change that is going to not just be based on rhetoric, but be based on true results.
Okay. Julia Stipich, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.